So last night we had Ajahn Pavaro here with us, and he gave the One Prat talk. Tonight's Saturday, so I'm up for the Saturday night talk. One of the things that Ajahn Pavaro mentioned was his love of lists, and lists of Dhamma in particular. I mean, and of course, the Buddha in his teaching actually gave a lot of lists of different Dhamma qualities. And it's a method of in the time of the Buddha, and is actually even still used up until the present day, of being able to remember certain things. So, Four Noble Truths, very first teaching. But what comes to mind for me today is the four bases of grasping, four upadanas. And we, this evening, we chanted recited in English the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, setting forth the wheel of Dhamma. And in that, when the Buddha points to dukkha, suffering, and of course he points out suffering is this, this, and this, and this, and this. In brief, the five focuses of grasping, the four bases of grasping to the grasping of the five khandhas in particular. So that there's these kinds of ways that we grasp. The word that the Buddha uses is upadana. And so grasping, attachment, clinging, sustenance, in that one seeks kind of nourishment and sustaining one something through an object. And so that we, as a habit in the human condition, we grasp after things, we attach, we get ourselves entangled with things, and they create suffering for us, and create problems, create difficulties, so that the a lot of the path is learning how to let go. And of course, Lumpa Cha once said, he's kind of in a very jovial mood, and said, I don't know why people make such a big deal. There's not much to do. Just know and let go. And of course, that's easy to say, and that is all we, all that's really required, that the Buddha requires of us, is to know and let go, but not so easy. Actually, not at all easy, because we keep deluding ourselves, or we don't see clearly, and so that it's really important to be able to identify the problem clearly. Why do I keep grasping and clinging? What am I clinging to? So that's what, and that's where the four bases of clinging are helpful, the pointer to identify, so that the Buddha points to the first one is kama upadana, clinging to sensuality, clinging to sensual gratification, and that chasing after pleasure in different ways. And it doesn't mean you can't enjoy anything, but it's that chasing after and the attachment, the clinging. I have to have something. I need to have, or should have. It's my right to have. But it comes back and burns us. Dittupadana, the clinging to views. Ditti is clinging to views, opinions, taking a stand, who's right, who's wrong, who's good, who's bad. And again, that taking it, clinging to a particular opinion and view, and that's the hill we'll die on, and it leaves us suffering, and usually all sorts of people around us as well. Sila Bhadu Padana, clinging to precept and practice. Old translations used to translate it as attachment to rites and rituals. Because it but it's more in the sense that if I keep this particular precept, if I keep this particular practice, if I do it this way, if I do this ceremony, or I do it like this, then it's going to purify me. It's going to make me safe. It's going to make me happy. I'll be okay. If I just got the technique down, if I just got the method, if I just got it right, and we lose our way. And the last one is Attavada Upadana, which is attachment to the... Attavada means like teaching, but it's more like the doctrine of self, or the assumption of self, because and it is interesting that the Buddha doesn't say Atta Upadana, because the Buddha thinks there is no self. You can't attach to something that doesn't really exist. But we do attach to the smoke and mirrors that appears to be self. It's me, it's mine. This is who I am. This is who I should be. This is what I need to be in order for me to be secure and safe, or to feel good about myself. So all of that propping up of this sense of self is suffering. So just being able to see the attachment that underlies it, then, is where, we're kind of addicted to being somebody, something, and having an identity, and it doesn't really serve us well. It doesn't mean, and it's not, it's not a negation of, because it is interesting that the Buddha's teaching on not self is in itself a middle way. In that that sense of attavada, that attachment to that sense of self, attachment, the assumption of self. But then, say, the other extreme is what the Buddha points to as what niratta, a negation of self. So that, there is no me, there is nothing. There is nothing. It's sort of like it's an annihilation. But the Buddha's teaching on anatta is a middle way. It says that this is not self. It's not no self. This is whatever we try to cling to or grasp to. It just can't be it. It's sort of it's like you pick up sand or water, and it just... you can't pick it up. You can't hold it. It just slips through your fingers. So the same with this this deep-rooted sense of identification with an I, a me, a mine program that we try to rely on, want to rely on, and it always disappoints. So they're being able to see that clear, accept that clearly. When I attach to are conditioned things, like sankharas that are being created, being formed, being taking shape, and whether it's physical or mental, it's the same thing. But it can't ever sustain itself for any true length of time, because we are time-bound phenomena. And, you know, and it's the part of nature. We're born, we age, you know, and we'll pass away. That's not a dismissing. It's sort of just an acknowledgement of truth. And then how do we use this opportunity, these faculties that we do have, in order to create a true refuge within ourselves, rather than attaching to something that really can't provide a refuge? You know, so it's the, because we do end up attaching, and there's a sense of, it's kind of like the myth of ownership, where you think we actually own things, and you know, in the end, they end up owning us. But it's all of the stuff that we have, I've mentioned this many times. American phenomena of storage units. I mean, it's just this. It's so American. But every little, I mean, Redwood Valley has a storage unit. I mean, this is not a population center. everybody's got storage units. They've got so much stuff that in their homes, they got to put it into storage units. And it's bad enough you pay maintenance on your home, you got to pay your storage unit fee as well. That sense of ownership. If I own this, if I had this, if I possess this, then I'd be happy. And it doesn't really work that way. So that's being able to. And that's why this path is a path of relinquishment, a path of letting go. And the Buddha points this out over and over and over again. It's just the way leading to the ending of suffering. Of course, there's formalized with the Noble Eightfold Path as a way of practice of Sila, Samadhi, Panya. But when the Buddha the pithiest distillation of what the essence of the teaching is, or what the path of practice is this is a path of relinquishment. That being able to be willing to let go. And as Lumpa Cha says, you need first, in order to let go, you need to know and let go. I mean, again, it's very simple, but you have to flesh it out and reflect on it and see, how does this process work? How do I respond to this deep habit of attachment? Because just, you know, being frustrated or upset or beating yourself up over it or getting angry about it, that's pretty hopeless. One needs to approach this practice and with a sense of taking interest. But it's also knowing the dynamic of what are we attaching to? Where's that the impulse to? Where is it focused on? How can I see the dangers in it? And that's one of the delineations of practice that the Buddha gave is to reflect on the gratification, the sweet taste of something that the pleasurable element of something. Because everything does have its pleasurable element. But then also to reflect on the drawback, on the harm, on the liability that grasping at something or clinging to something, what does it bring? And then the way out, the escape. This is a set of teachings that the Buddha gave in many places. This is also a way that he described his own enlightenment. This evening we recited the Dhammacakka Sutta, and the Buddha sort of said it wasn't until he saw these Four Noble Truths in their three aspects and 12 characteristics that he was able to declare full enlightenment. And similarly with this being, it wasn't until I saw the gratification, saw the danger, saw the way out of different things, both the external world, the internal world, and to be able to reflect on that. You know, and sometimes it's kind of painfully obvious, but we don't see it. It's like the story that the Buddha gives of the how in India they used to catch monkeys, and you get a coconut and drill a hole in it, but the hole is just big enough, and you fasten it to something, and there's monkeys around. But the hole is big enough that the monkey can get his hand in. But then you leave a piece of food or something, you know, a banana in there or whatever, or a fruit of some sort. He can get his hand in. But then once he's got his fist on that thing, he can't get it out again. And so the hunter doesn't have to do very much. He's just make this little coconut tied to something, leave it out where the monkeys are, and monkey comes in, and sure enough, I mean, they're curious creatures, and grabs it, and he can't get it out. The hunter just, all he needs to do is just walk up to this, and say, he wants to get away, but he can't get away, because he refuses to let go of that fruit inside there. That is mine. So that is something quite simple. And for the insight that the Buddha had, you know, it's quite similar. It's just in the sense that it's like, look at this attachment that we have to the body, the feelings, our moods, our views, our opinions, our ideas about the world, our possessions that we think we own, and be willing to let them go. But, you know, it's really difficult to really put something down. You know, that feeling of, this is mine, this is who I am, this is what I am, this is what I've always wanted and needed. And so we carry it through our lives and into future lives. It's the fuel that carries us into further being, becoming. This is why I say upadana is also, it's part of that teachings that the Buddha gave on the dependent origination. And craving, tanha, is a condition for upadana, for grasping, for clinging. Upadana is the condition, for cause and condition for being, becoming. Being, becoming are causes for birth. And so in that, as we keep following that sequence, that cycle, so just learning how to put a wedge into that cycle of craving, of attachment, of clinging. Seeing the danger, seeing the pain involved, seeing the dukkha that we experience, and being willing to let go. I mean, sometimes we, you know, when we think of, okay, being non-attached, you know, is sometimes, you know, conceived of as, you know, okay, you can't think anything, can't feel anything, can't be anything, you just got to be non-attached. That's what a Buddhist is. And it's, you know, that's sort of like the path of the Buddha is one of ultimate passivity, which is, you know, really not the case. The Buddha, this is in different other places, he says, you know, this is a path of effort. One needs to put forth effort. And in order to put forth effort, you have to engage. You have to be willing to experiment, to try, to do, to, you know, create energy. But it's like, and this is the way that Ajahn Chah talked about attachment was, I mean, it works well in the Thai language, because the word for attachment or clinging, upadana, and it means yut is to hold on, man is like tight. And so he says, as Ajahn Chah says, you have to hold on, but not tightly. And so it's this, that you've got to engage, but you can't attach. You can't be stuck. And so that because that sense of, one picking up skillful practices, you have to be willing to make a commitment to generosity, to humility, to developing mindfulness and clear comprehension, developing a continuity of stillness. You have to make a commitment to being patient and stick to that. You're not, rather than collapsing for you, to be willing to investigate and cultivate the foundations of real wisdom and insight. So that's, you've got to hang on, you've got to hold on, but not tightly. So it's an important distinction that's really worthy of attention. Because that sense of holding on, or attaching to the teachings of the Buddha, attaching to the refuges, the triple gem. So that in the sense of you have to pick it up and learn how to use it skillfully. You have to pick things up and care for them, look after them, and be committed to them in order to understand how to use them properly, how to rely on the tools that the Buddha gave us. And both, in terms of our practice, our training, our investigation, if you give up too quickly, then you and say, I'm just going to be non-attached, and you don't really get very far. You have to be willing to skillfully pick up this practice and training. Also, just attaching in the sense of, it takes a certain commitment to building relationships that are really wholesome and fulfilling. It's like there is a, again, there's that balance where you have to, hold on to a skillful relationship with teacher, with a community, or with friends, especially kalyana mitta, with good spiritual friends, with one's relationship. The Buddha says just how important it is to care for and be attentive to the needs of parents. The Buddha says, it's not that he's saying, don't do anything, because doing anything is going to be attachment, but it's more, how do you pick up in a way that acknowledges or recognizes the limitation and difficulty involved? How do you do it in a way that is really brightens the heart and nourishes the qualities of Dhamma that do lead to relinquishment, do lead to release? And so that's why the Buddha's path requires a reflection and, deeply considering the implications, repercussions of our relationship to things. How do we relate to having a view on something? Because the Buddha points to attachment to views as a source of suffering. So can I not have an opinion on anything? And you realize, no, you've got to pay attention to where is the point where one is holding so tight that you're creating suffering. Of course, that's the That's the beauty of the Buddha's teaching, or the beauty, especially the beauty of these Four Noble Truths, is that it's an experiential teaching, and you have to pay attention to what is the results of our relationship to the world around us, our relationship to views, our relationship to our practice, relationship to our sense of who we are. Because there's, you know, one of the, you know, the reasons why we, that the Buddha gave for keeping precepts, having virtue and integrity, is the sense of non-remorse. I mean, that sense of well-being that comes from having done the right thing. And that's, there's a wholesome sense of pride that comes from being steeped in that which is virtuous, has integrity, has based on the different virtues of generosity and kindness, and being sensitive to the world around. The Buddha's teaching on non-attachment is, you know, has to be approached with non-attachment, and learning how to use it skillfully and get that wise application of non-grasping. So I'll offer that for reflection this evening.